Welcome into the 5 o'clock hour of this Monday edition of News on the Hill. I am Brighton McConnell. Thanks so much for tuning in, whether you're listening on 97.9 The Hill or streaming us on chapelboro.com. I appreciate you starting your week out with us. We're going to hop right into our news, beginning with some state news here. As North Carolina reported a dip in hospitalizations due to COVID-19 over the weekend. One of the state's remaining elevated coronavirus metrics, the Department of Health and Human Services says the reported hospitalizations total is close to about 1,000 people, which means it dropped by about 100 over the weekend, and it has reached its lowest point since about early April. The state still added thousands of new positive COVID-19 cases over the weekend, as well as reported vaccination rates have not drastically increased. Remember, that was a key metric Governor Roy Cooper said he and other health officials will monitor to eventually lift the mask mandate down the road. UNC Health announced today, in order to help with that process, they will begin to administer the Johnson & Johnson vaccine again later this week. After that was paused on April 13th, as federal and state health officials were beginning to look at some data and see if that vaccine led to dangerous blood clotting issues. That was eventually cleared by both the FDA and the CDC, and then by North Carolina. And so UNC Health has announced they are going to begin using the one-shot coronavirus vaccine again beginning this Wednesday. The health system also said that when you sign up for an appointment through them, you will be given an option to choose whether you want the one-shot J&J dose or the two-shot Pfizer and Moderna doses. We are into a new month, and May looks like it is going to be a busy one for our local governments. You can head to chapelboro.com, where we have a full schedule for this month's meetings for elected officials across our community. The Chapel Hill Town Council gets it going pretty early. They've got a special meeting tonight as they review a key element of the proposed Aura development. Town staff will present a traffic analysis to council members using projections for what traffic in the areas of Estes Drive and Martin Luther King Jr. Boulevard would be if the mixed-use project is approved and built. If you want to sign up to be on the call for that presentation tonight at 7 o'clock, you can head to townofchapelhill.org to register for that Zoom link. The town council recently did its first concept review of another proposed development project, this one actually a potential student housing community right off of MLK. The proposed The Flats complex would replace current low-density student housing with high-density apartment buildings, fitting a goal of the town's recently adopted future land use map. But as presented, the proposed plan might not be that straightforward or desirable to the town. 97.9 The Hill's Ava Pukach has more.
Located between Isley Street and Martin Luther King Jr. Boulevard, a proposed apartment complex could become the latest housing for UNC students. If approved by the town, the flats would comprise of approximately 200 units and 600 to 650 total beds. This area currently houses other student residential units, such as University Apartments, Lark Chapel Hill, Union Chapel Hill, as well as Adelaide Walters Apartments, an affordable housing community for seniors. The proposed project, as envisioned, would be 5 stories tall on the Isley Street side and 6 stories tall on the Martin Luther King Jr. Boulevard side. Jeff Davis of J. Davis Architects said the terrain on the Isley Street side of the property led to some challenges in design of the complex.
The biggest challenge on this site is the topography. Just diagonally from the lowest northeast corner to the southwest corner, there's a 32-foot change in grade.
Davis said the project is set to include approximately a 450-space parking deck, which will be surrounded by residential units, a clubhouse, pool, courtyard, and a pedestrian path through the site.
All parking in the development is in the parking deck. There's no surface parking anywhere. So visitors and residents and future residents would all park in the deck.
Bruce Ballantyne is the founding principal for Ballantyne Associates, which is part of the Flats project. He said the project team is working to explore options to provide an affordable housing plan.
We've also started discussions with UNC to see if there is a way that it might be possible for this project to assist with certain students that are on assistance that might marry up with an affordable housing solution.
The Chapel Hill Town Council heard the concept plan for the flats at their meeting March 24th. Some concerns the council shared was the scale of the project and the potential disruption of the nearby neighborhoods. Council member Amy Ryan said she does not think the project as is meets the town's goals for environmental, economic, middle housing, or transit-oriented development.
It's just missing the mark on all those. We've talked about the idea of, you know, trying to grow our downtown out of its little constrained linear format right now. And there's a big opportunity cost for the town to let that valuable land go to student housing complexes.
Chapel Hill Mayor Pam Heminger echoed Ryan's thoughts on how much student housing the town needs.
This would be one of the corridors we said we wanted on, but I'm in agreement that this project is just so large on this property and backs up to a neighborhood. But there's also a townhouse neighborhood on the other side and our affordable housing senior neighborhood on the other side. And I don't know if you've had conversations with them, but we need something that works with them.
If the project is set to continue, Heminger and the Chapel Hill Town Council said the project team has a lot more work left to uncover. For 97.9 The Hill, I'm Ava Pukach.
Also news from the Chapel Hill Police Department today. A 15-year-old that was found over the weekend after missing for a stint toward the end of last week is missing once again. 15-year-old Miguel Jaime has not been seen since Sunday morning in the 200 block of Irwin Road in Chapel Hill. We have a photo of Miguel on chapelbriar.com and on our social media pages. Check that out for a full check out the article for that photo, a full description of Miguel, and you can also find out how to contact the Chapel Hill Police Department if you have any information on his whereabouts. It is time now for a look at sports, and we had a whole bunch of Carolina athletics in action over the weekend, both on the field and off of it. Let's start with some Sunday results, and the big one, the UNC women's lacrosse program earned their fifth ACC title, their fifth straight ACC title, I should say, thanks to a 9-4 win over Syracuse. It was a low-scoring game, actually the lowest in ACC final history, as a matter of fact. Star attacker Jamie Ortega, though, still found a way to get on the scoreboard. Surprise, surprise. She had three of Carolina's nine goals on Sunday. Tar Heel goalie Taylor Moreno actually earned the tournament MVP award for her defensive efforts, not just on Sunday, but of course throughout the entire tournament that Carolina dominated. The title win marks UNC's 284th conference title in school history. That is head and shoulders above the next best school, Virginia, who has 143. That stat is courtesy of Brian Ives on Twitter. The UNC men's lacrosse program then went and added to that title total, bringing it to 285 as they upset Duke on Sunday 15-12 and clinched a share of the conference regular season title. Additionally, there was NCAA tournament action over the weekend. Top-seeded Carolina field hockey took on Stanford and earned the 2-0 victory behind goals from Aaron Mattson and Cassie Sumfest. It advances the Tar Heels to the program's 12th straight Final Four, which is just incredible. They are going to be hosting Iowa at Kieran Shelton Stadium on Friday with a trip to the national championship game on the line. UNC men's and women's soccer both had NCAA tournament wins over the weekend. The second-seeded women's team beat Denver 2-0 in their opener on Friday, while the men had a tough 1-1 match against Charlotte. They eventually won that one in penalty kicks to break the tie. Both teams advanced to the round of 16. The women are set to play Washington on Wednesday, and the men scheduled for Stanford on Thursday. Head coach of the UNC men's basketball program, Hubert Davis, made some comments today on John Rothstein's College Hoop Today podcast. He indicated that sophomore forward Armando Bacot, who is testing the NBA draft waters, does indeed plan to return to Carolina for his junior year in the fall. That'd be big news bolstering Carolina's front court that has seen a lot of players transfer out. Bacot, who was one of the team's leading scorers, is going to be a key piece in that if he indeed does return, which once again, head coach Hubert Davis seemed to indicate, according to John Rothstein from the College Hoops Today podcast. You can find that episode by heading to our social media pages where we have that shared. And of course, on the pro sports topic, we had the NFL draft over the weekend, which saw several Tar Heels have their names called. Javonte Williams was the first. The talented running back went in the second round, 35th overall to the Denver Broncos. Linebacker Chaz Surratt went in the third round to the Minnesota Vikings. And just a few picks later, wide receiver Deami Brown heard his name called in the third round. He went to the Washington football team. Running back Michael Carter had to wait until day three to hear his name called, but it didn't take long. At the very beginning of round four, he went to the New York Jets. Very shortly after that opened up. And Daz Newsome also was drafted on day three. He went in the sixth round to the Chicago Bears. Congratulations to all of those players who all had some pretty amazing moments to shine in Mac Brown's program over the last few years. Some state news grabbing national headlines today. The private funeral service for Andrew Brown Jr., the 42-year-old black man shot and killed on April 21st by Pasquotank sheriff deputies. The incident is still being investigated by both state and federal authorities, but Brown's family, who have seen the limited body camera footage from the incident where deputies were apparently serving a search warrant, say that Brown was killed while his hands were on the steering wheel of his vehicle, not reaching for any weapon. The funeral today saw Reverend Al Sharpton speak and ask for better transparency in law enforcement, and the service included guests like civil rights attorney Ben Crump and Reverend William Barber. You can find more coverage from the Associated Press of that funeral service on our website, chapelboro.com. Turning to some Carrboro news, the North Greensboro Street and Estes Drive roundabout has entered the third and final phase of its construction, with a new traffic pattern recently being installed at the busy intersection. The $3.4 million project is being funded and executed by the North Carolina Department of Transportation, and the town government says that with this new traffic shift, crews will now be able to construct the center island of the roundabout while resurfacing asphalt and painting new striping, some of the final steps of the project. Carrboro Mayor Lydia Lavelle recently spoke with us here at 97.9 The Hill about what residents can see if they travel in that direction.
Yeah, we're still a little ways from it being done, but I'll tell you, I think it's 75% to 80% done, and certainly the yeoman's work is done, and I think the terrible work is done. You know, the work that was so loud and causing problems for the people who lived right around there, and dealing with a lot of the infrastructure underneath the roundabout. But if anyone hasn't been through that intersection yet since last week, do so, because now you can actually visualize the way it's going to look. There's still a lot of, you know, like the sidewalks and the greenway and the markings and so forth still need to be all put in place, and it's still a little patchy, but it's really exciting, Brighton, to finally, you know, see another area where we can see a light at the end of the tunnel.
Once again, Carrboro Mayor Lydia Lavelle speaking there. If you want to hear that full conversation where we catch up on many other things happening in the Carrboro area, be sure to head to our News on the Hill audio archives. You can find that just by scrolling down the homepage of chapelboro.com.